Well, happy Easter again. I'm excited about today's message, and I'm just excited about today because we get to celebrate the truth that God loves us so much that he sent his son, Jesus, the creator of all, the God in human form, to go from death to life. And we get to follow him as an example that Jesus, who spoke everything into existence, he died on the cross and was buried, but he didn't stay dead. He rose again and is alive today is a picture that when we surrender our life to him and we say, Lord, I lay down my life and the old me is dead because I believe you died on that cross for me. We get to walk in the newness of life that he gives us. We go in that moment from spiritual death when we recognize Jesus is the Son of God. He died for our sins. We say, I receive that, and Lord, I surrender my life. I give it to you. That is a moment of we go from death to spiritual life, and he wakes us up. That's a moment called born again, and it is an amazing thing. I pray that you've surrendered your life to Christ, and you walk in the fullness of what he's called you to today. That's why we are celebrating today. It's Easter when Jesus rose from the dead and opened the floodgates to heaven for us. So, today's message is about the resurrection, but I titled the message, The Other Resurrection, because I want us to look at Jesus and how he dealt with a friend who was sick, then died, and then Jesus. So we're going to look at John chapter 11. And in John chapter 11, we see that Jesus, in the prior chapter, he had been in Jerusalem. He had been there for Hanukkah. He was celebrating Hanukkah, and he'd done some pretty amazing things. And he made some pretty bold statements where he says, the Father and I are one. And then the religious leaders, they picked up stones to stone him. And Jesus said, I'm paraphrasing all this. You can read all of this in John chapter 10. Jesus says, for which miracle, which good deed are you going to stone me? And they're like, we're not stoning you because of the miracles that you've done, but because you're a blasphemer. And they try to stone him, but Jesus escapes and he leaves and heads to the area of Galilee. And then he gets a message. He gets a message from some friends actually sisters of a man named Lazarus. Mary and Martha send a message and say, hey, Jesus, your friend Lazarus, our brother, is really, really sick, and we really need you to come here. Why would they contact Jesus? Because they knew that he had the power to heal Lazarus. So we're going to jump in. Chapter 11, John, verse 4. He's received the message from Mary and Martha. Hey, Lazarus is sick. You need to come. You need to come see him. He's really sick. When Jesus heard about it, he said, Lazarus's sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this. That's pretty cool that Jesus speaks to our sickness. Jesus speaks to us in the place of pain, the place where there's brokenness. Jesus speaks to, and he says, it will not end in death. So Lazarus is sick, but he's saying, hey, it's not going to end in death. So you would think that's great. He's going to, at that point, go back to Bethany, which is just outside of Jerusalem, where last time he was there, they were trying to stone him, that he's going to go there. He says, no, it's not going to end in death. The Son of God will receive glory from this. So although Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. Oh, wait a minute. Jesus just said, this isn't going to end in death. But then he doesn't go to Lazarus right away. He waits 2 full days. And then in verse 7, it says, finally, he said to his disciples, let's go back to Judea. So here's a reminder that Jesus' timing is not our timing. Jesus will speak to the places of sickness and pain and problems in our life. And he's going to rectify it if we let him. But his timing is not our timing. His ways are not our ways. Actually, Isaiah, the prophet, says that God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And so many times in difficulty and hardship, when we're dealing with a problem, we're in the place of pain. We're in the place where we're laid up. Like, Jesus, we need you. And Jesus will speak to us. And he'll speak to the pain, to the problem, to the areas of loss and death. He'll speak to those, but his timing is not our timing. Finally, after 2 days, Jesus turns to his disciples and says, let's go back to Judea, to Jerusalem. But his disciples aren't really excited about it. They're like, hey, Jesus, I don't know if you remember this, but last time we were there, they were trying to kill you. Are you sure you want to go? And Jesus says, absolutely. And then we pick it up in verse 11. It says, then Jesus said, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, and now I will go and wake him up. And the disciples said, Lord, if he's sleeping, he will soon get better. They thought Jesus meant Lazarus was simply sleeping, but Jesus meant Lazarus had died. So he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And for your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there so that now you will really believe. Come, let's go and see him. Here's what's interesting. Jesus looks at what we call dead, and he says it's just sleeping. Hey, Lazarus is asleep, guys. And they're like, what? That's good. That means he's getting better. And she's like, no, you don't understand. Like, he's physically dead, but don't worry. Watch what's going to happen, because you're going to see something that's going to build faith inside of you. And so often we look at adversity, we look at difficulty, we look at sickness and pain and problems and loss through the lens of, oh my gosh, I'm experiencing death. And even though we will all experience physical death, and we will see people around us experience physical death, just recognize that everywhere Jesus goes, he brings life. And what we call death, he's like, nah, that's just sleeping. So they head back to Jerusalem, to Bethany, to the area just outside of Jerusalem. And remember, Mary and Martha had sent for Jesus, and then he delayed, waited 2 days, because God's timing is not ours. Just follow me with all of this. It says, when Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. So Jesus was proven right to his disciples. Yeah, Lazarus is dead. But Jesus first said he's asleep, because Jesus says things about our areas of death that we see differently. And we go, it's dead. And Jesus goes, it's asleep. Lord, if only you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask. And Jesus told her, your brother will rise again. And now Martha goes a little religious, because she's been taught that at the end of days, the dead will rise, the righteous will rise. And say, yes, Martha said, he will rise when everyone else rises on the last day. And Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. See, Jesus makes it very personal. She's like, yes, I know that he's dead and he's in the grave, and one day he will rise again. It's like that far off distant land. Like, oh, this thing's going to happen one day. And Jesus makes this profound statement. Martha, I'm the resurrection and the life. Do you really believe that? That the resurrection in us is Jesus. The areas of death, when Jesus shows up, there's life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. And then he asks Martha this question. Do you believe this, Martha? Do you believe this? Martha, yeah, you said that your brother's going to rise again and you put it off to the last day, but do you believe that I am the resurrection and the life? Do you believe that? And look at what she says, verse 27. This is so key. Yes, Lord, I have always believed you are the Messiah, the one who delivers, the one who exchanges death for life. I believe you are the Messiah who has come into the world from God. What a profound understanding that she has when Jesus says, you know, I'm the resurrection and the life, that if you believe in me, you're not going to die. Do you believe that, Martha? And Martha makes this unbelievably profound revelation that she's had, she verbalizes it. You are the Messiah. You're the Savior of the world. And then Mary shows up. Look at verse 32. It says, when Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. But that sounds very familiar, because that sounds exactly like what Martha said, because it is. Both Martha and Mary were seeing things from a temporal and human perspective. The brother that they loved dearly had died. He'd been dead. Jesus waited before he showed up. Lord, if you'd have been here, in other words, Jesus, where were you when we needed you? And Jesus spoke to Martha, I'm the resurrection and the life. Do you believe that? And she says, yes. And then with Mary, if you had been here, my brother would have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up with him, and he was deeply troubled. Man, there's been a lot of speculation. Why was Jesus so angry? I don't think he was angry with Martha, and I don't think he was angry with Mary or with all the people. I think he was angry at death and at the situation that humanity had been placed in through the curse of sin that happened so long ago, eons ago with Adam and Eve. And that even though the creator of the universe, Jesus, was standing in their midst, and Martha had even said, I believe you're the Messiah, they're still crying and forlorn, and even Mary now repeats exactly what Martha said. If you'd been here, Lazarus would be all right. And I just can't help but wonder, was Jesus upset because he says, I'm here now, and what's happened in the past isn't of consequence because I'm here now, and I can even take the past and turn that around and bring that thing that is currently death and died days ago and bring it to a place of life. And then he asked them this question, and it's a big key for you and for me. He says, where have you put him? Because Jesus wants to know where their source of sorrow is, where their source of pain and loss is. He's saying, where have you put him? He asked them. And they told him, they who? Mary, Martha, the people around him. They told him, Lord, come and see. I got to put my Bible down for that, because that is good, so good. Because so many people say, Jesus, where are you? Where have you been? Don't you see my place of pain? Don't you? He is waiting for you. He's asking you the question right now. Where'd you put it? Where is your source of sorrow? Where is your source of pain? And at some point, you have to be willing to say, Lord, you got to, here it is. Come and see. I'm going to show you the place of pain, of loss, of death, of sorrow in my life. This is so powerful. Mary and Martha, they couldn't see everything clearly, though they understood who Jesus was. And when he asked them that question, where'd you put him? They said, Lord, let me show you. And Jesus followed them to the place of pain. Listen to me. God is not a bully. He is a God of freedom. And he is waiting for you to invite him into your place of pain. Then Jesus wept. Come and see. Why was he weeping? Because he knew what was before him, and he loved Lazarus too. And there's something so unnatural about death and loss, because we were never created for that. The people standing nearby said, see how much he loved him? But some said, this man healed a blind man. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying? Skeptics. Jesus was still angry as he arrived at the tomb. I think he was angry at death. That's just me. A cave with a stone rolled across its entrance. That's the tomb. And then he says this, roll the stone aside. Now remember, Martha had said, Lord, if only you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And Jesus says, I'm the resurrection and life. You believe that? Yes, you're the Messiah. You're the Savior. Okay. Mary says, if only you had been here, Jesus. And Jesus gets upset and says, where'd you put him? And they say, come and see. Now they're at the place of pain. They're at the place of sorrow and loss and death. And Jesus is there. He's already cried for them and with them, because he does that with us in our place of pain and loss and death. Jesus grieves too, because it is unnatural. roll the stone aside, Jesus told them. Martha's response, but Martha, the dead man's sister, protested, Lord, he's been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible. She's very pragmatic. God, Lord, you want us to roll the stone aside? Like, that's going to stink. That's nasty. You sure you want to do that? We buried. He's been dead. He's been in the tomb for 4 days. Lord, that's going to be gross. And Jesus' response is this. Didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe? Believe what? That he is the Messiah. That he is the resurrection. Like, we want resurrection, but the resurrection is Jesus. We want life, but it is him. And what we have to be willing to do is take Jesus to the place of pain, to the place of loss and sorrow and death. And we have to open up the tomb. We have to roll the stone aside inside of our own dead areas in our life that ain't, we don't want nobody to see because they stink. Roll the stone aside, Jesus told them. Lord, he'd been dead. Didn't I say you'd see God's glory if you believe? So they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of these people. Jesus wanted them to know, listen, I am who I say I am. I said it for the sake of these people standing here so that they will believe that you sent me. And then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a headcloth, and Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him go. Lazarus, come out. And so here's what I'm ending with. Jesus knows your place of pain, your place of loss, your place of where you've rolled the stone and hidden some dead things, those painful, hurtful, sinful things. And he's speaking to you. Hey, take me there. Roll that stone aside. Jesus knows your place. Lazarus, come out, because Jesus knows your name. He knows your name. He knows the worst about you. And he's calling out to you to bring you to life, because Jesus has a plan, because Jesus is the plan. The creator of the universe, God in human form, before he was himself buried and resurrected, went to one he called friend, rolled the stone aside, called out his name, and brought him to life. This is what Jesus does for us today, if we trust him. He's speaking to you today. Do you really believe I am the Messiah? I am the resurrection. I am the life. And if you do, he's telling you, he's saying, bring me to the place where you've hidden and buried all of those things. Open it up to me, all of the sin that's been done to you. And he will call your name and bring you to life if you trust him. Look at what he says. Didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe? Believe what? That Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And my prayer for you today is that you believe with every ounce of who you are that Jesus is the resurrection and life for you. Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out. And maybe there's some life that Jesus wants to speak into you. It begins with you heeding his voice and surrendering all to him. The Bible says, unless a seed is buried and dies, it can't come to life. Some of you felt like you've been buried and dead for a long time, and now Jesus is speaking to you. Come out. How do I do that? You recognize the area of death and sin. You say, Jesus, I believe who you are, and I'm surrendering to you. And three, you step out and say, here I am, to the people around you. It's interesting to me. Lazarus, come out. Like, Jesus had the power to come out, and all it could have said, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out completely unbound from all of his grave clothes and in a new sparkling robe, but it didn't. It said he came out, his face unbound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a headcloth. And then Jesus told them, the people around him, unwrap him, let him go. Because you need the resurrection and life from Jesus, and you need people around you to help you get to the place of freedom in him. You need that. Maybe that's you. And Jesus is knocking on the door of that stony tomb that's your heart. He's saying, let me in. That's you. Why don't you just pray with me? A prayer of surrender where you open up your heart and you surrender it to him. Say, dear Jesus, I can sense you. I know you're knocking at the door of my heart, and I open it to you. Take my sin, my pain, my loss. Take all of me. I surrender it to you. Jesus, you are my Savior, and I am yours. In your name I pray. Amen. Listen, if you pray that, first of all, that's the moment where you go from death to life. And Jesus is with you, and so are we. And I want to help you walk in the freedom that he created you for. Let us know. Click on that link in that chat box. Connect with us so that we can help you walk the life that God's called you to. And happy Easter. Look forward to seeing you again soon. Let us know what's going on. God bless.